reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, friends, you know, our country is in bad shape. Our politicians are running around like chickens with their head cut off because they're not listening to the people. You and I, we're the ones that vote for them. Well, I tell you, there's a lot of people voted last time that are sorry they did. But listen, friends, we live in the greatest country in the whole world. We have a God that's in heaven. He knows what's going on. Pray hard. Pray for our leaders. Pray that God will speak to their hearts and show them that this spending and stuff is a bunch of nonsense. Well, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I've labeled this message, Taking a Trip. Someday, we're all going to go take a trip. So tonight, I'd like to prepare us for that trip. You know, when we were kids, before our parents and us went on a trip, were prepared to go somewhere, we'd sit down and we'd plan the trip. If we'd never been there before, the first thing that we do is purchase a road map. This Bible that I hold in my hand is our roadmap to heaven. No other book in the world can tell you how to get to heaven. Let's suppose that I told you that everything that you've ever done wrong and evil could be erased, and all that you have to do is go walk through that door nearest your chair. And if you do, you can go to heaven. Wow. I have no doubt that everyone would get up and go through that door. But people, I would be telling you a big fat lie. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. Listen, I'm not a foot-stomping, hair-pulling, fire-snorting preacher. However, I must tell you the options that you hold in your hand today. The decision is yours and yours alone. Nobody can make that decision for you. Your mother can't, your dad can't, your preacher can't, I can't. The decision is up to you. No, Jesus said it, it was not his will that any should perish. Now, there are legalists who tell you if you do that, you can't go to heaven. Salvation is not do's and don'ts. Salvation is trust and obey. Now, you take Nicodemus, found in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Nicodemus had heard testimonies from men and women who had been saved, so he thought he would really like to meet this Jesus. Well, let me tell you what. He asked Jesus some questions. Well, Nicodemus found Jesus one night and said to him, you must be from God, because no man can do the miracles thou doest except thou be with him. Jesus turned to him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That stunned old Nicodemus, and he said, can a man of my age enter a second time into my mother's womb? Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you a ruler over the Jews? And know not this simple statement. Jesus said, the winds blow, but you can't see them. So it is with the Spirit of God. You can't see the Spirit, but you can see the evidence. Well, my wife and I have 5 sons and 2 daughters. I still don't understand childbirth. It blows my mind. I've got a little 2.5-year-old grandchild. I'm telling you, she's a joy of my heart. We bonded, and every time I see her for about a half hour, she seemed like she's growing up more and more and more. Oh, my friends, she's going to have to make a decision whether she wants to go to heaven or not. Young people, I was the director of a rescue mission in Moultrie, Georgia. I received a phone call from a lady who told me her husband was a terrible alcoholic, and she wanted to know if I would go talk to him. I drove out in the country to where that place was. You talk about a shack. He was sitting on the porch drinking a Bud Light, and I introduced myself, and he said, "Want to be a preacher?" And I told him I didn't. As I shared my testimony with this young man, I could see tears in his eyes because what I was telling him, he could relate to. He wouldn't accept Christ that day, so I went back to town. One night, in a drunken condition, he told his two little boys to come outside. He wanted to tell him something. He had in his hand a high-powered rifle. They said, "The two boys, you boys love the little dog more than you love your dad." And he pointed the rifle at the pup and shot its head off. That, my friend, is what booze can do to a person. You might ask this question: if God wants all to go to heaven, why does he send us to hell? Wrong. God does not send people to hell. That's right, God does not send people to hell. We send ourselves. How? By rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You say, "Okay, preacher, you say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. If God loves us, why hell?" Well, in the first place, God never created hell for people like us. He created hell for the devil and all his angels. Lucifer was his best angel, but Lucifer got power happy and decided to take God's job. He made a very foolish mistake. So God cast him forth from the garden, and that's what really happened. And that's when things got bad. Well, one day our great-great-grandparents were out in the garden, and they were warned not to take of this one fruit. But Eve was out there walking, and she saw this tree, and it would look so good. The fruit looked so good. And this big old serpent crawled down out of the tree, and he said, "Hey, go ahead, you can have that." Oh, she said, "No, because if I took that fruit, God said he'd cast out of the garden." "Oh, God's lying to you. You know, if you took that fruit, you'd be as smart as he is." Well, we know the results there. Then they were cast forth out of the garden. See, God cannot look on sin. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God is righteous and a holy God, and because Jesus took our sins upon him, God could not look on his only Son. Jesus was sinless, but now he has your sins and my sins on him. So, no, we weren't there the day that Christ was crucified, but our sins was. You see, recall, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. The parents have taught both of them to bring offerings to the Lord. Abel brought to the Lord the very best and gave it to the Lord. God accepted it, but Cain gave the worst to God. God did not accept his gift. So in a rage, Cain went out and killed his brother Abel and buried him. God sought out Cain and said, "Where's your brother?" Cain cried out, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, Cain is not in hell because he killed his brother. He could have repented that. He is in hell because he wouldn't obey God. The New Grace Quartet and I have been going to prison for years and years. We've seen some of the toughest men and women and boys in reform schools. These men have raped, they've killed, they've stole, they've sold drugs, and yet we have seen hundreds and hundreds of men and women and boys give their hearts to Christ, and their lives were changed immediately. One time I was invited to a boys' reform school in Golden. The place is called Boot Camp. Believe me, these are a tough bunch of young people. They had a rock band, supposedly Christian, and I doubt that. I couldn't understand one word they were singing. Well, they just kept hollering and yelling and playing, and guess what? They gave me 10 minutes to speak. I thought, man, what can I say in 10 minutes? So I shared my testimony, gave an invitation, and 50 young men came forward. In my testimony, I shared that my stepmother beat me almost to death and then threw me down this flight of steps in the basement. I shared how I cried most of the night. I prayed that I'd kill her. I'm so glad God didn't answer that prayer. Many of those young people came from homes where their dads and mothers were alcoholics or drug addicts. They were never loved. They felt abandoned. But when they heard Jesus loved them and invited them to put them in trust in them, they responded. I remember one time the quartet and I were at the Fremont prison. I told them I had a 13-point sermon. The quartet felt that was too many points, so they just kept singing. Now, we have to be finished by 8:30 or we'll be thrown out. So they left me with 10 minutes to speak. Again, I shared my testimony. Several men accepted Christ, and I noticed a young man over by the organ. I walked over and said, "Son, how's things going?" He said, "I don't know why I came here, because I hate God." Then he smiled. He said, "Well, I hated God. And then when you told about your stepmother, I began to think of my mother who used to beat and abuse me. And then you said that you had forgiven your stepmother. I thought if God can do that for you, he can do it for me." And I accepted Jesus. Well, you remember the two men you might have heard about this that escaped from Fremont Prison the other day. Well, one of the men had talked his girlfriend to shoot his wife. Well, I was preaching down at the women's prison last year, and this young woman who had shot the guy's wife accepted Christ and is now the choir director of the women's choir. Oh, friends, listen. 2 years ago, the quartet and I went to the old Max prison. That's where they keep most of the men who have AIDS. What a sad, sad place. Young people, have you ever seen a person die with AIDS? We hear safe sex, say sex. Well, safe sex is no sex. I used to speak at a home for unwed mothers in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And yet that will just break your heart. Many of these girls came from fine Christian homes. The same old story. If you love me, you'll sleep with me. So they did. Then Mr. Lover takes off, never to be seen again. As a parent, you people, I too had two daughters that never gave me a bit of worry. They didn't date much in high school. When I told them to be home, they were, and I trusted them. Well, we moved to Colorado in 1972. My two daughters felt they could get an apartment of their own, and I wasn't for it, but I gave in. One day, my daughter and her boyfriend came up to Decker's where we were all camping out. I told my wife after they left, I said, our daughter's pregnant. My wife got furious at me for saying that, but I was right. I was so mad I wouldn't speak to her. Well, and so she'd never come to my house. My other daughter came in about my house one night, come in and grabbed me by the front of my shirt, and she said, "What kind of a preacher are you, Dad?" I said, "I'm a preacher." She said, "Well, you're not a very good one." I said, "Why?" She said, "All right, your daughter's over there. She's pregnant, and she's heart's broken. She knows she did wrong. She repented of her sins, but you won't forgive her." Well, I thought about what she said, and she was right. I didn't forgive her. Now, what kind of a deal is that? Well, I remember getting in my car, and I drove over to the apartment, knocked on the door, and my daughter came to the door, and we threw our arms around each other, and we cried. Oh, I said, "Honey, I forgive you." Well, friends, she gave me the most beautiful granddaughter. She's now grown, got children of her own. She's a registered nurse. Yes, my daughter done wrong, but she repented of her sins. And friends, listen to me. You say, "Cecil, I've done a lot of stupid things in my life." Well, you know, if you did, you can repent. There's nobody who has sinned so much that God can't forgive them. You say, "Well, Cecil, don't you understand? I did this." Hey, I go to prison every month with and talk to men and women and reform schools. Kids that have lost, they've done terrible things. They've murdered, they've raped. I recall one time while I was a director of the mission in North Dakota, I got a call from a school teacher. She said, Pastor, she said, we have a problem in our church. 10 of my girls are pregnant. And she said, I want you to come and speak to them because I know you'll speak from your heart and from the Word of God. I said, I'll be more than happy to do that. So I went over there and we had a full room of boys and girls. And I said, you know, it's a sad thing. I said, some of you children come from Christian homes. Now, I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm not looking down my nose at you, but you come from Christian homes. Well, you go to high school, and one day you see this wonderful, wonderful, good-looking football player. Man, every girl in town wants to go with that football player. So you're the lucky one that gets a date with him. So you go out in the country, and he talks you into getting in the back seat of the car. I'm telling it like it is, friends. Talk about getting in the back seat of the car, and he said, hey, I got a beer for you. Well, she said, I've never drank a beer in my life. I live in a Christian home, and drinking is wrong. Oh, come on. So he talks this girl into taking a drink. Well, you know the rest. Now, she's pregnant, and this football player goes free, which is wrong. They ought to hang that boy just like they hang anybody else. Now, the guy sitting about 3 feet from me or 4 feet from me was that football player, and he was the guilty one. My stars, he looked very sad. And that woman called me, the teacher called me the next day and said, Cecil, did you know that this has opened the door for me? These girls are coming to me and they're talking about their problems. Young people, let me tell you what, you dress like you're getting ready to go to a brothel house. You let your breasts hang out of your bra. That's cool? No, it's not cool. You let your belly button hang out. Oh, that cool? No, that's not cool. You boys, you wear your pants down around your knees so your underwear is showing. That's cool. No, it's not cool. You're not cool at all when you're doing the things of the world. Jesus said, you know, friends, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is not looking for wimps. He's not looking for sissies. He's looking for men and women who will take a stand against sin and will stand up and say, no. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, here's a church at one time was on fire for the Lord. They were a visiting church. They were a caring church. They were out winning souls. And all of a sudden, the pastor says, this is not necessary. I remember one time over here, I visited a pastor that came to this beautiful big church. And he told me, he said, well, Cecil, I'm going to have a mega church. I'm going to have television. I'm going to have radio. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Next thing I know, he's having an affair with his organist. That church has never recovered from the sin of that pastor. Now, friends, none of us are perfect. Oh, listen, I was telling someone the other day, you know, I can see your faults so much easier than I can see my own. Well, God sees our faults. God sees our sin. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. I wonder tonight, friends, are you ready for a trip? Are you ready to take that trip to glory? Now, the decision is yours. If you want to confess Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ raised the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, let's see. You say, Cecil, I do. I do have a tugging at my heart. I really do. I've lived a terrible life. I've hurt my parents. I've hurt so many people. But, oh, I'd like to get that straightened out tonight. Well, if you do, here's what we have to do. you bow your head with me, if you're willing to turn your life around and turn your back on sin and become as a little child, he can forgive you. He will forgive you. But you must repent. That means godly sorrow. So if you're ready to repent of your sins and open your heart to Jesus, bow your head with me right now and pray this powerful prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. In that message tonight, you spoke to my heart and you told me how wicked I was, but that you loved me. And Father, if you do love me, I'm opening my heart right now and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. No, I won't embarrass you. And I sure won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I want you to go to heaven. Come on, sign up tonight. Sign up with Jesus so that you can make that wonderful trip when that time comes. I'm standing by my phone, 303-471-8534. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening, and I pray we'd said something to encourage your heart. Listen, oh, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but oh, I know what Jesus did for me 55 years ago in a drunken condition. I had nowhere to turn. But when I turned to Jesus, I found that he loved me. I found that he could forgive my sins, deliver me from the curse of alcohol. These past 55 years have been beautiful years. Oh, they've been hard ones. We've had lots of sickness, a lot of sorrow. But oh, we've had a lot of joy telling men and women about Jesus, seeing thousands over the years come to know Christ. Well, listen, pray for my wife and I as we go to prison next month, and as we go to Denver Rescue Mission. Pray for our health. We're getting up in years. And pray that God will bless us and help us with our diet that I'm on. So far, I'm beginning to lose weight. I'm happy for it. Well, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors and stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.